Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler. Today, we are wrapping up part three of the three-part mini-series, Should You Start a Flower Farm? If you have not listened to parts one and part two, go back, take a listen. They're meant to be listened in order. But in part one, we talked about how do you feel about sales and how do you handle rejection. This goes to apply to anybody that is considering turning their hobby into a business. What that means is you are selling things and you are making money instead of just doing it for fun. So, of course, you need to get comfortable with selling and you need to learn to handle rejection because some people are going to tell you no. So that's part one of, you know, should you start a flower farm? Part two, we talked about what resources do you have available to start? And by resources, we're talking time, we're talking money, we're talking about reinvesting back into the business, we're talking about, you know, how much time do you have, what's the flexibility, what's the end goal. So those are parts one and part two. And again, this mini series is not meant to crush anyone's dream. This isn't meant to make you think that it's so hard and so bad, but it's meant to give you some things to think about and consider before you dive right in. Because there is no shame in listening to these episodes and saying, you know what, I want to keep my hobby a hobby, and maybe I'm going to find a flower farmer to work for, and I'm going to work on their business and clock in, clock out, get paid. I guarantee you will make more per hour with your time than if you owned the business. I shouldn't say that. There's no guarantees on this podcast. I don't want to get sued. But your hourly rate will be more because as a business owner, you are working a lot, especially when you're first getting started and you're working for free a lot. So part three, should you start a flower farm? What is your commitment to learning about things other than flowers? So of course, when you are starting your business, you are going to need to learn to analyze your market. You're going to learn to analyze all of those things for sales. But of course, you need to learn how to grow the flowers. If you cannot grow flowers, you cannot sell them. But I do think that nearly anything can be learned. There are a lot of flowers that are easy to grow. There are some that I just don't do well with. I don't know, you know, for whatever reason, they just do not turn out well for me. But, you know, learning the vase life, researching what grows best in your zone, all of those things are going to be really important. But you're going to have to learn about things other than just growing flowers because your business is not growing flowers. If you have a business, your business is selling flowers. So you got to learn how to sell those flowers. You got to learn how to organize things. So first of all, commitment to learning. Let's start with just learning about the flowers. You need to stay in your lane. So many growers get caught up in shiny object syndrome of what other flower farmers and what other growers are doing. And what is best for them might not be best for you. So growing tons of different kinds of dahlias, or maybe even having a high tunnel, having ranunculus. If you're a teacher, tulips might not be a good idea because they have to be picked, you know, at certain times in the spring before they bust open. It's just, you don't have a lot of flexibility with your time. So even though you love them, even though your customers want them, you would either have to hire help, get creative, but you know, your time flexibility might not be the best thing. So even though you want to grow what other people are growing, maybe you have to stick to things that are going to be blooming during that summertime. You know, if you go on a lot of weekend vacations, yep, nope, we're not going to offer weekend U-picks, even though they would do great. You know, our kid has soccer every Saturday morning. We just can't do U-picks on Saturday mornings, whatever it might be. And so are you committed to learning what is going to be good for you and not getting caught up in what other people are doing, what other people are growing? Because you don't know all of the things that go into it. I'm really excited. This summer, we're going to do a pretty big series. I've got almost a dozen different flowers, and it's going to be a new episode every week of diving deep into that specific flower and whether or not it's right for my business. We're going to talk about questions you should ask about, you know, bloom time and this and that, and if it's a good fit for your business. But you need to constantly be doing that with not just your flowers, but your products. Are subscriptions a good fit? Are one-off orders a good fit? Are weddings a good fit? Are funerals a good fit? Are stem bars a good fit? You know, whatever it might be, you have to decide if this is right for you. So streamlining your P&Ls, your profits and your losses. Do you like learning about accounting? Do you like learning sales tax? Do you like, you know, and there you can definitely hire a lot of things out. And I'm a big proponent of who, not how, and finding someone that can learn how to do things. But I still need a little bit of a baseline of everything. And as the business owner, even if your flower farm is $20,000 and you are, you know, $20,000 worth of sales for the entire year, and maybe you pay yourself, you know, $8,000 throughout the summer that you get after all your expenses, like that's a good chunk of side money, but you are still the CEO. You are still the CEO of the business, and you have to have the big grand vision. You have to keep an eye on the sales. You have to keep an eye on, you know, just everything. You have to be the CFO. You have to be the inventory. You have to be the marketer. You have to do all of those things, and you got to get good at all of them. And you have to hire the right person if you end up hiring, even if you don't, you know, just depending what that looks like for you. And I do think that you can definitely build a business around how you want. I do not personally think it's ever going to be a sustainable option to 100% do everything yourself, run your own website, run your own social media, run your own everything and never hire anything out whatsoever. I think it's a good fit for some, but I think it's a rarity because that is a recipe for burnout, because now all of a sudden you are the bottleneck. If you get sick, if your kid gets sick, if you want to go on a vacation, you are the thing that everything has to pass through in order for it to run smoothly. And if you take a week off, you get behind on everything. Taking a quick break from the episode to talk about QuickBooks. I used to use a payroll company because I W-2 my employees, because if you're in Minnesota, you know that you can't get away with just 1099-ing someone when they should be W-2 because of all the new sick and safe laws. So having an established payroll system in place is your best bet, and I do it all through QuickBooks. I used to pay this company like $70 a month, and I still had to send the amounts and the hours to them, and QuickBooks just does it for you. It would take me 10 minutes to send that email, and now it takes me 25 minutes total. I mean, there's my $70 a month that I used to pay this accounting firm. So the best part is my employees can handle all of it on their end, entering their personal information, like their social security number, their bank account, all of that, and I don't have to ever see it. So I cannot stress enough how great QuickBooks is if you need to do a payroll. So head to the episode notes and you will get an exclusive 30% off for 6 months offer if you use my code. This is 20% off more than you will ever find on the regular website. So make sure you use my code. Thanks. You know, I've built my business around, you know, to this point now, I have someone that sort of touches everything a little bit, but that's a story for another episode. That's not for today, but just learning how to do a little bit of everything. So you're going to have to learn accounting, sales tax, what are the laws, what are the requirements, you know, what do you need to know as far as insurance, you know, you need to learn, you know, SEO and how to get your posts shown and how to get, you know, people to subscribe to your newsletter on social media. You have to learn how to convert a photo from a live photo to a JPEG and put it in your newsletter, like all these little things that can be so frustrating. But once you learn how to do it, it makes it easier. It used to take me 4 hours, I'm not kidding, to make a newsletter. And now it takes me 20 minutes because I have a template. I have the same routine I have every time. I literally have a sticky note on my computer of the steps to like do this, do this, do this, do this. I have learned to get really, really efficient with my time. And if you're going to own any business, whether it's a flower farm or a bakery or a clothing boutique, whatever hobby, photography, whatever hobby you are turning into a business, you need to learn to get efficient and analyze your time, because it would be so easy to spend 14 hours a day running around like crazy. And then the work is just always there and you're just constantly working because you know, if you don't do it today, it's just going to be there tomorrow and it's just you and it's this insurmountable pressure. And so I share it all the time in my Instagram stories. I do have an episode on the podcast called Productivity Tips that really covers a lot of these things, but I'm actually considering turning it into a mini course, something like Take Back Your Time or something like that, because I get asked all the time, like, how do you do this? How do you manage? I manage the podcast, which is now turning into a blog. I am an author. I've got my book sales. I do the coaching. I do the courses. I have the flower farm. I still work as a nurse practitioner. I still volunteer. I've got a lot of irons in the fire, but I'm able to do a lot of it by like time blocking and prioritizing my work, knowing what my deep work is, knowing what my deep work hours are. So what my most productive hours are and scheduling my life around that, because it is so easy to get burnt out as a business owner. So are you committed to learning about things other than flowers? You know, efficiencies. So we ended up our flower shop last year, we really focused on efficiencies. So we have our building that we have all of our flowers in is like almost three rooms. One has the garage doors. It's insulated. It has a window AC in it. That's where we can set up our stem bars. We can wheel the wagons of flowers right in there and just shut the door. We don't have to empty them right away. There is a little doorway that we walk in through. We can put some of the flowers straight in the cooler. That is where we like make all of the bouquets, is in that center room. And then there's another room that is where the flowers get picked up that the customers go into, and that's the farm store. So now it's like the minimal steps, the minimal unloading and reloading, the hose can reach, we can fill up the wagons, you know, just outside, you know, connected to the four-wheeler. We have a hose that reaches to them. We're not like filling buckets, lifting them off. We can fill up the wagons, or we can fill up the buckets while they're in the wagons. We have a composting trailer. It's like a little tippy. It's on two wheels and it's a wagon that goes behind. So we have our four-wheeler. We have our wagon that fits 8 5-gallon buckets, and we can hook a second wagon on it and we can do the third compost bucket. So we can do our four-wheeler, two wagons that fit 16 5-gallon buckets of water where we put flowers. And then the very back one is for our compost, where we can strip the stems in the field, get them all the right length, process them in the field. We literally drive around to the compost pile, tip that up, empty it if we need to. Otherwise it's, you know, not full yet. And then we can drive up to the shop, unhook the wagons, put them in the garage. Then we can take a little 20-minute break and then come back to it, versus constantly like stripping the flowers in the field, bringing a bucket with us. Like, nope, we pick X amount of flowers, walk over to the four-wheeler. We have room in between every single row for that. All of that was done with intention. In my Peddling Perishable Products course, I have like a lesson talking completely about how that all works. But basically, you know, we have all of that. And it used to take, to make 50 bouquets, it would take me 10 hours. Now, if I have one person helping me, it takes 3 hours. I'm not kidding you. Now, maybe there's a little bit to sweep up at the end. Maybe there's a little cleanup, but we can get it start to finish done. If it's like, if I have Lindsay or Brittany or Lydia working and they're like, hey, I can come from about 6 to 9 in the morning, or 6:30 to 9:30, but then I got to be out of there because I got a doctor appointment. And if I've got stuff going on, I'm like, all right, let's hammer it out. We'll clean it up tomorrow morning before we get started, or we'll, I'll come back later and do it, or, you know, whatever it might be. Or if they know they're coming back later, and we can streamline those efficiencies. And that, as a business owner, is going to be so critical. And if you are not willing to learn how to do things compared to just growing the flowers, it's going to be really hard to be successful as a business owner. I talk about it all the time. My employee of the month is QuickBooks. I use QuickBooks for everything now. And it was a hard learning curve. I paid an accountant to like take all of my previous bookworks and get it back in there. I completely changed my system, my point of sale, but now it's just not stressful. If I sell, there's a couple florists that probably buy anywhere from $200 to $1,000 of wholesale stems every other week, you know, when they have weddings, or a lot of times in August and September, it's every single week. Well, I need to be able to invoice them, and then they are a wholesale account. So I'm not charging sales tax to them, and it's just hard to like keep it all straight. Whereas if it was all in one thing, then I'd have to keep notes of it. And then when I go to pay my quarterly sales tax, whereas in QuickBooks, I can just put it on there and then I can either request a check, or I ask them pay me with ACH so that it's only a 1% transaction fee instead of putting on a credit card, that it's a 3% fee, which a 3% fee on $800 worth of flowers, that's a lot of money. And so, you know, just learning how to do those things with the numbers is really important. So learning how to run a business, learning how to watch your clicks, learning how to analyze your email newsletters for what percentage is open, what percentage actually bought things, you know, what are your sales? What is, you know, you can't just post a picture and hope that people come. Like, you really have to just look and analyze comprehensively. You got to do market research. You got to see what people want. You have to be willing to learn about other things if you want to run a profitable business, whether it's a flower farm or, you know, any type of business. You have to like being a business owner. And I'm not saying that you have to do it exactly like me to be successful. There are plenty of flower farmers that are probably like, oh, well, I don't do that and I'm successful. Yes, I know. But the point is, if you are successful, you found what works for you. And to me, the term successful is being happy, being content, having time to do the things you want to do and running your business and not letting your business run you. So you have to find ways to be creative and you have to like learning about things other than growing flowers. I really hope that this mini series was helpful to you. I hope it gets you thinking. Absolutely. Please submit any questions that you have ahead of time. Please sign up for the live Q&A webinar. Like I said, it's going to be me and Abby on there on May 6th. What you do is you click on the link in the episode notes, enter your email address, and then we will send you a Zoom link, and then you'll be on the Zoom. And, you know, you can send questions ahead of time for the Q&A. We'll be posting that all over social media. We'll be asking it, you know, we'll be sending out emails to our email list saying, hey, what questions should we cover in the webinar? We will cover it. We will put the live webinar recording onto a bonus podcast episode. However, if you want to ask questions in the chat and be really, you know, involved, then, you know, join the Q&A. It's usually pretty fun. We've done a couple of them and they've been really successful. Everyone who's joined has always really liked them. So go ahead and join that. We just want to know what you're wondering, what you're thinking, what questions you might have. And I think that, you know, there's no shame in saying, you know what, I don't want to turn my hobby into a business. It won't be fun for me. Being a business owner is not for everyone. Running a business, looking at the numbers, all of those things. I mean, I would say, especially year three, I'm entering year five right now. Year three was not fun for me because I was doing all of the business stuff. I hadn't hired any help for any of that stuff yet. I just hired help for the flowers. And so I was so busy and I hadn't learned, you know, just how to streamline my email list, how to, you know, make it so one click, like, okay, like I have filters on my email list now for my Monday summer subscription holders. I can click a box and send them all an email. I didn't have that before. So I was like running my list and I had Excel spreadsheets and I was trying to find the name of the list. And it took me an hour to send an email to the Monday people so that they would know that, you know, hey, we had this happen and subscriptions are going to be a couple hours late. I mean, not that happens very often, but those little things that can be such a time suck, that's what I was doing all summer long. I was answering my emails. Now I've got help in all the parts like outside of the business and the flowers. So I can just do whatever is needed of me. And I'm kind of like a float. I would say I'm not the manager. I'm the leader. And everyone has their own little jobs and I fill in where I need to be and I can kind of be the jack of all trades. And, you know, if all of a sudden, you know, I've got to do more with the bookwork or this or that, and if one person calls in sick or quits or is gone, now I don't have someone that's in charge of everything. And again, I'm not just running a flower farm. I have this coaching business. I have the podcast. I have, you know, all of these other things. I still work one day a week as a nurse practitioner. I'm, you know, trying to get my book published. Like, I've got a lot of other irons in the fire than just being a flower farmer. And so you probably don't need an assistant for this or that, but like streamlining things, the contact forms on my website, the way I have trained my customers to know how to do things, it just takes time and it's a commitment to doing that. So I hope that if you want to start a flower farm, that you listen to all these questions and you're like, yep, I check all the boxes. Of course, there's things that we miss. Of course, there's other things that you have to, you know, be committed to learning about or want to do. But these are just some basic entry questions that you should ask yourself, because I don't want anyone working 70 hours a week and hustling to make ends meet. So thank you so much for listening to part 3, and I hope you join us on the Q&A. Thanks. Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.